Fuck Yourself, Frotcast. We are live once again from the Frot Quarters in San Diego. San Francisco. I was thinking of Anchorman.
Worst announcer ever.
Oh, man. I'm an ear-raping son of a bitch. This is your ear-rapist, Ben. We got the whole crew back together this week. We got movie blogger Vince.
Heyo.
We got human giant Brendan.
Yeah.
And we got grumpiest man in podcasting, Brett.
I always picture Vince's Tim Meadows gif where he's swinging his arms for Mean Girls 2. That's going through my head every time we start.
And we also already have Lindy West blooped in. Well, hello.
Hey,
hello to you too, Lindy. We have a fun show this weekend was Vince's 30th birthday. He is now not only over the hill, but on his way almost to the bottom of the hill.
Oh, don't remind
me. That's adorable.
We went karaokeing at perhaps the gayest karaoke land in all of Karaokeville. and we're going to talk
which is
about
saying something.
It's pretty
gay. It's like you're like the gayest unicorn.
Yeah. We watched, or at least most of us watched Catfish. We can talk about that briefly. Vince and Lindy punished their eyes by seeing Big Mama's Queef, or whatever this one's called. We got some Charlie Sheen clips from some radio interview that Vince has a gigantic boner for.
They're the best thing ever.
And I think that'll probably be the show. Maybe we'll talk some Oscar crap, but that's probably about it.
It's going to be a long. It's going to be like a 6-hour show tonight. So yeah, just strap in.
Oh, strap in,
strap on, and then strap in.
But so yeah, we had a fun weekend. Vince got completely sober. Vince remembers at least half of his birthday, which is good.
All right, up until the tree climbing, at least.
No, you came to after the falling asleep part. You slept for a good hour there on the table before the tree climbing.
Yeah, well,
and puddle splashing. Don't forget that.
I don't know if you guys can help me solve this mystery, but I have this CD with a picture of a dick drawn on it. My computer, my disk drive's broken, so I don't actually know what's on the disk. I just have this disk, this blank CDR with a dick drawn on the cover.
It's you singing Possum Kingdom by the Toadies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Someone recorded that?
That was pretty early.
That's part of the deal, and then I drew a dick on it, because fuck you.
Because he went to art school.
Hey, guys, I can draw stuff.
Do you remember two of your friends like trying to sit me down after you slapped me in the face so many times that I lost it? And I actually remember you
vaguely.
Like, what do you think, you're fucking tough because you took a couple jiu-jitsu classes? I played in the NFL, motherfucker. I'll kill you.
Yeah.
He was also, Vince spent about 5 minutes during one song slamming an empty beer pitcher down on a table like a steel drum. And we literally had to pry his fingers off of the pitcher. For those of you that don't know Vince,
I like to drum.
Vince, he's like, I equate it to a dog that has escaped from the yard and is out on the street and sees everything simultaneously that it wants to do. So, oh my God, I want to chase the car, but I also want to chase the cat, and I kind of want
to
take a
dump.
Can't
wait to eat garbage.
Yeah,
let's jump in some puddles on Market Street. Whee!
And then someone says, don't do that. He's like, okay, cool. I want to do that 50,000 times more.
Well, it's like I'm one of those birds in the little cage because I'm just in my jack-off cave all day with nothing. And it's just like they put the cover on and then just give me a computer, and then it's all I get to do all day.
It's time for sleep, Vince. Put the cover on.
Yeah, then you take the cover off of the jack-off cave. And it's like, oh, my God, sensory overload.
Well, they not only do they take the cover off, but they open the cage door.
Yeah.
And you get to fly around the room, and you just fly into the wall sometimes.
And then it's karaoke time.
Yeah, I hadn't been karaokeing for a while. There is always quite an assortment of characters at Karaoke Land.
I think I karaoke'd you pretty hard.
Yeah. You karaoke'd my brains out.
There was a couple standouts. I think the first one was before, at the beginning of the night, a couple of Vince's friends came up, a couple of his friends from back home, drove up from Fresias and surprised him, which was cool, but we were joking around about how it would be really awesome if someone did the Randy Watson, which is, of course, the part from Coming to America, you know, where he sings and then he just drops the mic and goes off stage, right? And we all kind of laughed and thought about the next thing. And then probably 20 minutes later, they called some guy's name. They, like, called it a couple times, like, Robbie, Robbie. And then all of a sudden the door flies open and this guy just comes walking in. And then
from the sushi restaurant that was attached next to
there was like a fog at his feet.
It was unbelievable. And then Staying Alive came on and we're like, who is this guy? You know, and he was all like flamboyant. Didn't he have like, one of those leather blazers on?
Oh, he was a fabulous black man.
It's not like a jacket. It's like got lapels, like a blazer.
Yeah.
And he had like, you know, designer jeans. And then he had like the really light, like caramel colored, like pointy toed gator skin shoes. Oh, he was great.
He was dressed to impress and ready to party.
He was dressed to impress. And then Staying Alive comes on, and he just, from the first note, it was like, yes. Like, he nailed every single note. I mean, he crushed it. In the same key. He didn't sing it low. He sang it like Barry Gibb sang
it higher.
He might have sang it higher than Barry Gibb.
If anything, it was higher.
Yeah. And then even the chorus, where it gets really high, where, you know... He nailed all
Imagine
of it.
Like
hit
if
every
Mariah
note.
Carey was a gay black man singing Staying Alive. That's pretty much what it was like.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was great. And then song ends, puts the mic down and walks out. And it was so amazing. We kept thinking about like
sushi motherfuckers.
He's like some crazy like karaoke like man with no name just going from karaoke bar to karaoke bar, just like
for a few whipping
the place
more.
Just like whipping the place into shape, and
I'm
like
gonna go finish my dragon roll, bitch.
And we were talking about how like we kept calling him Randy Watson for the rest of the night. We're like, man, we should just go run down the street and see if we can find Randy Watson at like another karaoke bar and like bring him back for an encore performance, because he rocked it.
He did.
Then there was this other guy who was like this kind of hipstery looking guy. He had like a jacket on and like a plaid shirt.
Fucking hipsters always wearing jackets.
He just looked well, it was inside and his packed karaoke bar is hot. You know, and he had like kind of like long greasy hair and looked like he hadn't shaved in like a week and a half. And you know, didn't really go up there with much confidence or anything, but he goes up there, plays Purple Rain, and he nailed it. He nailed it. And it got like crazier as it went on. And the place was so packed that like there was like girls screaming, and he just started taking his clothes off. And by the end, there's like girls rubbing his chest. He's sweating. He's like doing all like the little Prince breakdowns, just like all the high pitch, like, you know, all this stuff. Girls going ape shit. He's like breathing hard. It was amazing. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, he left it all out on the field.
At one of the instrumental breakdowns, he just goes, hey, shut up and touch me.
Yeah, like, that's
four
right.
Four girls are like rubbing him.
I think that was when I was outside because Vince was violently stomping in a gigantic puddle. And I looked inside. I was like, there's a dude singing with no shirt on. What is going on in there? That's karaoke. I also like the like Christina Aguilera wannabe or whatever the song that was, where some girl sang the song way too well and took it really seriously. You don't remember that?
No.
She was Bleeding Love?
No.
Oh, well, that was, you were just maybe getting into your...
People bought me a lot of shots.
Oh, yeah, well.
And for some reason, I decided to take them. I don't know
why. You only turned 30 a couple times,
yeah,
so enjoy
exactly.
It.
So, yeah, I don't know. Lindy, you probably haven't heard this yet. This just hit late afternoon. This Charlie Sheen interview is fucking insane, and I wanted to play some clips from it because it's like one of the best things I've ever heard.
It's not the one from The Soup?
No.
No, I don't know. No, if
this just happened today. I think it might have happened like this morning. He was on a radio show. This guy, Alan, the hell's his name? Alan Jones, I think his name is. And he did this interview with this guy who I guess is a friend of Charlie Sheen's. And I don't know if he's just coked off his face or completely bipolar or both. But
it's not the one where he's talking about, I don't have a problem, they have a problem.
No. He gets nuts.
Let's just say Charlie Sheen is a big fan of Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. He
and cocaine.
All right, I'll start playing the clips. This is where he's talking about. He was basically on vacation with these two porn stars and his wife that he got arrested for putting a knife to her throat.
But who doesn't
just
do that?
Just a fun foursome in the Bahamas.
Why else would you get married?
And this clip picks up where they're talking about the trip.
So what we all have is a marriage of the heart, of the hearts. And I, you know, to sully, to contaminate, or, you know, or radically disrespect this union with a shameful contract is something I will, you know, leave to the amateurs and the Bible grippers. The Bible grippers. And then I just got to add this. There was a whole firestorm yesterday about Brooke being...
Brooke's his wife.
You know, a part of our crew, and this. Let me just say this. This is all I'm going to say about it. Is that where there were four, there are now three. But bye, Brooke, and good luck in your travels. You're going to need it badly.
Wait, hold the phone. So no. he jettisoned.
So Brooke did go along with you, but she's not there now.
No, she's not there now, and we are, and I don't know, winning anyone? Rhymes with winning. Anyone? Yeah, that would be us. Sorry, man. Didn't make the rules. Oops.
So he jettisoned his wife from some trip in the Bahamas where he's now with a couple of hookers. And
one of them was described as a marijuana bikini model, I read on one side.
I like how the whole thing is like he left his wife or divorced or whatever, and he's hanging out with two essentially prostitutes, and he's like, huh, who's winning now?
If you could see me now, Brooke.
Yeah.
Amanda.
I thought Charlie Sheen is a Coke model, right?
Yeah. Models. It gets better. He's the perfect model of like Hollywood asshole. I didn't believe it was Charlie Sheen. I thought it was somebody doing a Charlie Sheen impression before.
Id incarnate.
Yeah.
And then they add the lie that, oh, you don't have a hernia. Well, you know what? I've seen your hernia. I've got the same hernia in my belly button, and your hernia was hurt, but again, you don't want to defend yourself.
I guess the backstory on this is that he wasn't going to the gym because he told the press he wasn't going to the gym because he had a hernia and they didn't believe him or something. The whole thing just glosses over, like, they just expect you to know all the minutia of Charlie Sheen's tabloid persona. So here.
Yeah, but how do you hurt your hernia?
You flex.
Yeah, but you don't hurt your hernia. You get a hernia. Your hernia was hurt? That doesn't even make sense.
It's got feeling. That's like saying your cold was sick.
Yeah. Your cold was sick. I saw it. I saw your cold.
All right. Here we go.
On that, and you know, tell folks the truth about it. But the point is that it seems like there's some people in your life that are trying to demonize you. They're doing these vanity cards, talking about how they're going to outlive you. It seems pretty darn aggressive.
Okay, backstory
on
this.
Like the heavy Coke breathing was like.
Yeah. Sorry. Backstory on this was like when the creator of Two and a Half Men wrote the thing. It was like at the end of the credits of Two and a Half Men. I don't know if you want me to read it. It's basically
we all saw it.
I never miss an episode.
All right, so basically he put in an extra title. He put in an extra card in the titles that said, I exercise regularly, I eat moderate amounts of healthy food, I make sure to get plenty of rest, I see my doctor once a year and my dentist twice a year, I floss every night, I've had chest x-rays, blah, 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 I don't do drugs, I don't have crazy reckless sex with strangers, and then the next paragraph, if Charlie Sheen outlives me, I'm going to be really pissed. So, you know, kind of a dig, but kind of...
Wait, he put that in the show?
Yeah, the
Why
creator...
Why did he do that?
I don't know. It was a joke, I guess. To show that he's,
was it,
was show that he's so funny because he writes Two and a Half Men.
Question. Is that the only funny thing that's ever happened on that show?
Possibly.
The first joke on Two and a Half Men ever, and it was in writing.
Yeah. I think I may have mentioned this in a prior Frotcast, but my sister works for a big tech company here in San Francisco, and they're talking about how they've really nailed the, you know, younger person segment. If you're a youngish person, you use the site, but they want like older people to use it, and so they call
you
it like, porn? Well, no, they call it, so they want to go after
nailed
like
it.
Older people who are in, you know, landlocked states, and they call it, quote, the Two and a Half Men crowd.
Our friend watches Two and a Half Men, and we always joke how old he is, even though he's much older than us.
His live-in girlfriend is a cat named Raisin. So,
fact.
Yeah, I didn't care about that vanity card. In fact, I went straight on with that one and just dispelled that. And that was actually, you know, one of the few compliments that clown has paid me in freaking almost a decade. But I'm excited to get back to work, and not to completely discount what you just talked about. It's just if I bring up these turds, these little homunculus losers, there's no reason to then, you know, bring them back into the fold, because I have real fame. They have nothing. They have zero. They have that night, and I will forget about them as the last image of them exits my beautiful home. And they will get out there and they will sell me, and then they will lose. And they will lose the rest of their lives as they think about me and my life the rest of their life. So it's just, there's no, it's, again, bring me a challenge, somebody. Bring me a freaking challenge, because, you know, it just ain't there. Winning. Let me just say this. It's nothing.
Sorry, go ahead, Brendan.
I love now it's just like a suffix on the end of stuff.
Winning. Oh, there's going to be so much more gratuitous catchphrases that mean nothing.
I just like how when anyone's such a big fan of themselves, Yeah, when I'm in my mansion, you know who doesn't bother me? All the people talking shit on me. They don't bother me at all, not in the least. They're fucking turds in my punch bowl, and that's all I see. And I've got more punch bowls without turds. And I've got
made of crystal.
They've never even seen.
I got a monogram one that says winner on the side.
I can pay him to come over and suck my dick, then I can pay him to not do it.
And then I pay him to leave, extra, whatever.
And I like how, I mean,
winning.
You tend to get away with that when you're like a self-made millionaire, but when you're Charlie Sheen, it's like, yeah, well, you know what? My dad is Richie Rich, so fuck you guys. Yeah. I'm awesome.
Yeah, I drive a Lamborghini go-kart to school, so suck on my nuts.
Can you imagine what it's
out of deplorable.
Sorry, gotta back it up a little bit here.
There's nothing. This out of deplorable at a certain Haim Levine. Yeah, that's Chuck's real name.
He's talking about Chuck Lorre, who's the Two and a Half Men creator.
But I always do love when they're like, nothing now bothers me, but yet they know every minute detail of whatever somehow wronged them.
Here's what I think it comes down to is clearly Charlie Sheen has no problem leeching off his father's success. However, something about the fact that the guy changed his name from Haim Levine to Chuck Lorre makes me think he's a pretty and all right dude. He wants to be like, well, if I go into show business with a name like Haim Levine, everyone's just going to be like, whoa.
Did you just defend the Two and a Half Men creator?
In reference to Charlie Sheen.
Well, Charlie Sheen's also giving him shit for changing his name. It's like, motherfucker, your name's Carlos Estevez. What are you talking about?
Maybe in another life, bro.
Yeah. Haim Levine. It makes you sound pretty anti-Semitic when you're like, his name's Haim Levine. He tries to hide it, but I know.
Jewish name.
I could smell a Jew from a mile away.
Me and Mel Gibson go on Jew hunts every couple months.
Because we can afford to. Winners.
Winner.
Winning.
Mel waves his money in the breeze and I rack my shotgun.
Winning.
Jew, the most expensive game.
You know what the sound of winning is?
Mistook this rock star for his own selfish exit strategy, bro. Check it, Alex. I embarrassed him in front of his children and the world by healing at a pace that his unevolved mind cannot process. Okay, last I checked, Haim, I've spent, I think, close to the last decade, I don't know, effortlessly and magically converting your tin cans into pure gold. And the gratitude I get is this charlatan chose not to do his job, which is to write. Clearly someone who believes he is above the law. Well, you've been warned, dude. Bring it.
Refuses to acknowledge my godlike powers.
Bring it. He says bring it like 50 times.
But I also like, he's above the law by writing.
By not
something.
Writing. He's above the law. Who does this guy think he is? Steven Seagal? Yeah.
He just has these weird phrases that he'll put at the end of everything. He called me a charlatan and, you know, whatever. Winning. Bring it. Loser. Goodbye.
You've got mail.
Yeah. He reminds me of like the villain in an Adam Sandler movie, or like the fiance in Wedding Crashers, where he's just like, I'm a fucking winner and you're a loser and you're always going to be a loser.
I think you're getting a little too in depth. It reminds me of a really annoying drunk chick, like preferably like a sorority girl.
I don't know. I don't think they'd have quite the delusions of grandeur going on here.
Yeah, they do, though.
You went to a dorky school.
Yeah, Vince, they do, though. That's the thing. They're like, yeah, I'm a hot bitch, and what are you? You're some dumb jock idiot. I'm going to go fuck a million dudes while you're at home playing with yourself, bitch.
You're just a doorman. Go back to your doorman. You're fucking doorman.
You go to your doorman.
Show me where it says I can't come to the club with piss in my pants.
Show me the sign.
This is my favorite part.
Say Charlie is on fire, and after he came out of what he's been in the last 7 months, he is not putting up with people trying to push him around anymore. Is that?
I like this guy because he's like the ultimate yes man. Like Charlie Sheen is in a fucking the Bahamas, coked off his face, and the first thing this guy says is, "I've known you for a long time, Charlie, and you're 100% sober, right?" It's like, yeah, no.
Not fair to say.
It's an understatement, you know. I'm sorry, man. I got magic and I got poetry at my fingertips, and I'm, you know, at most of the time, and this is, you know, this includes naps. You know, I'm an F-18, bro, and I will destroy you in the air, and I will deploy my ordnance to the ground.
Are you
replay that part?
I'm an F-18, bro.
I think Brett missed some of that.
Charlie is on fire.
Only someone who's on blow will refer to themselves as a plane.
People trying to push him around anymore. Is that fair to say?
F-18.
It's an understatement. You
know, emphasizes naps.
I'm sorry, man. I got magic and I got poetry at my fingertips, and I'm, you know, at most of the time, and this is, you know, this includes naps. You know, I'm an F-18, bro, and I will destroy you in the air, and I will deploy my ordnance to the ground.
That right. is so amazing. I'm an F-18, bro, and I will deploy my ordnance in the air.
Why did he have to bring up naps? What does that have to do with anything?
Well, because he's just saying, I'm so awesome.
Yeah, I know, but I even nap powerfully.
I am an F-18, bro. I will destroy you in the air, and I will deploy my ordnance on the ground. Naps. Winning. Goodbye.
I win while I'm napping.
Yeah, if you thought it didn't
nap winning.
If you thought it didn't include naps, you were wrong.
What?
Charlie? I'm just saying that naps are the opposite of his coke addiction. I bet he's not that good at naps. I bet he's shitty at naps.
Good point.
Very sweaty,
well,
thrashy
maybe,
naps.
Maybe that's what he's saying. Like, I can't even nap, and yet I'm still winning when I nap.
Maybe his publicist told him to throw in naps as often as possible to deflect attention.
I can still sleep.
I don't think a publicist was anywhere near this idea.
Well, obviously.
It gets better. He's going to start talking about his tattoo like a 17-year-old from...
Are you going to announce your new tattoo here on air?
Yeah, why not? Because it's just pure and complete gnarlyisms. Yeah, I sat with two, coincidence, F-18, the Top Gun radical fire napalm dropping pilots in my movie theater watching the attack sequence, the chopper attack sequence on the beachhead to go surfing because they wanted to, and those people were in their way.
Is there any segue to, like, hey, I'm going to talk about Apocalypse Now?
Okay, not only that, he's like, and they dropped napalm on the beach because people were there and they wanted to go surfing, so they got the people out of the way with napalm.
It was real. Real napalm. Not like these chicken shit movies these days that charlatans make.
So wait, but I'm confused.
You know why I'm awesome? Because I got a tattoo that says awesome, and it has a plane dropping napalm.
Because I'm an F-18, bro. Winning.
I have an F-18 tattoo on my arm even when I nap.
They were actually flying F-14s in Top Gun, by the way. But so I don't get it. Was there any kind of segue to him talking about Apocalypse Now? Or
no, he's on coke. He skips like six steps. And
okay,
like,
I wasn't sure if these were two separate clips.
He's talking about... the tattoo he got is like some insignia of like the air, something or other.
Well, no, I get that, but I just it's funny that he suddenly just launches into like an
apocalypse. How did you get
now.
That?
Yeah, where did you? Are you pick? Is there more to come?
He sort
I didn't
of
get where Top
he
Gun
referenced
fit in.
He referenced Apocalypse Now earlier, and then because he was talking about pilots from Apocalypse Now, he somehow like pilot went to Top Gun.
It's not, he was talking about the dudes from Top Gun.
He jumped quick straight from like the pilots in Apocalypse Now to like actual Top Gun pilots that he hangs out with because he's Charlie Sheen and he's so fucking cool.
Proceed.
Winning.
And I was getting a tattoo during the death from above, and it was it's the banner from the death card that Kilgore is throwing on his victims. But there's also falling from it is the apple from the giving tree. There's my life. Deal with it. Oh wait, can't process it. Losers winning. Goodbye.
And scene.
I gotta get. It's the apple from the giving tree. You faggots, what's up now, bitch?
Suck on that.
Can't
apple.
Process it. Losers.
Hold on. I gotta hear the.
Is the giving tree too strong for you?
Well, he says losers and then winning. Immediately
from the giving tree. There's my life. Deal with it. Oh wait, can't process it. Losers winning. Bye bye.
Oh, Charlie, you're the best.
How is that real?
See, why can't that be in 2.5 Men? That I might actually watch.
That would be so much more entertaining.
And so this was before or after two? Because I just read that 2.5 Men got canceled.
Oh well. All right. So let's finish the interview. Then we'll get to the fallout.
Oh, Charlie, you're so fun.
Just not, I'm just not a. I'm not fair game. I'm not a soft target. It's over. There's a new sheriff in town, and he has an army of assassins.
I'm not the mayor of Pussytown. I'm the sheriff of Ballsville.
I'm not a soft target. I'm a fucking hard target. I was supposed to be in that movie, not Jean-Claude Van Pussy.
Assassins. Oh, we must speak of the Vatican assassins.
Sorry, we skipped before we got to assassins.
Did you just say
and he
Vatican
has an
assassins?
Army of assassins.
Sorry, we got to get the beginning of that clip.
There's a new sheriff in town. and he has an army of assassins. Oh, we must speak of the Vatican assassins, yes. I don't read anything after it comes out because I will not waste my precious time on such ridiculous nonsense. But I understand, according to you, that there was a lot of curiosity about the Vatican assassin. And I'm like, guys, it's right there in the thing. Duh, we work for the Pope. We murder people. We're Vatican assassins. How complicated can it be?
Oh, my God.
This has no context.
What the fuck is he talking about?
What they're not ready for is guys like you and I and Nails and all the other gnarly gnarlingtons in my life.
Time out. You missed gnarly gnarlingtons.
Gnarlingtons.
Yeah, me, you, and Nails were the real fucking gnarly gnarlingtons.
Me, you, and Squeezebox, and Tommy, and K-Squad. We're the shit, because I got a tattoo.
No, don't say the shit. You're the gnarly gnarly.
Jay Boogie. Squeezy. Toosie Pete.
Clone.
Clonesy McClone.
Knuckles.
We're the gnarly gnarlingtons.
Tommy One Shoe. Billy.
We're the sheriff of this hard target.
Wait, the Vatican assassins. I love he doesn't read anything after it comes out. What does that even mean?
I guess some, like, he probably read that Weekly World News or something called him a Vatican assassin, and he, like, people are trying to smear me, man. Well,
sir, I only read books before they happen. That's how fucking awesome Charlie Sheen is. F-18 winner!
Map winner!
Bye-bye.
That we are high priest, Vatican assassin warlocks. Boom. Print that, people. Let's see where that goes. Another one of his stupid mottos, Alex, is...
This is where he's railing against AA, because he's too good for AA, so he just goes on a fucking rant about how much he hates AA.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah. Oh, this is it's good.
Don't be special. Be one of us. Newsflash, I am special, and I will never be one of you. There it is.
You sound like Thomas Jefferson.
Well, I'm not Thomas Jefferson.
Exactly.
Wait.
For just word. To clarify.
Word for I'm word like Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson.
Wait.
Thomas Jefferson. He was a pussy. but I dare anyone to debate me on this. Well, I'm not Thomas Jefferson. He was a pussy. but I dare anyone to debate me on things. Debate me on AA right now.
What did Thomas Jefferson do? Yeah. Fight the British? I got a tattoo. Fuck off. Goodbye.
Loser.
Winning.
You know what really sucks too is he's really right where he's like, no one will debate me. So he probably thinks he's like some supreme debater. But he's probably just one of those people. Well, he's definitely one of those people who's just so exasperated to have an argument with that no one, like everyone avoids
it. You're
right,
and you Charlie.
Just concede. You're just like, all right, fine, whatever. I don't want to fucking talk to you anymore. I hate you.
This is like the greatest thing I've ever heard. This is the pinnacle of audio communication right here.
I have a disease. Bullshit. I cured it with my brain, with my mind. I'm cured. I'm done. Well, we all have to sit in here and touch ourselves and frown. Well, you know, you don't look like you're having a lot of fun. I'm going to hang out with these two smoking hotties and fly privately around the world. You know, it might be lonely up here, but I sure like the view, Alex.
Did he pre-write this? This is all gold. He's not even missing a beat.
Oh, I know. When you're high on coke, it just flows.
You know what he sounds like? He sounds like that episode of 90210 when Brian Austin Green got addicted to crystal meth and he was a late night DJ.
At the college radio station?
Yeah, he's like saying all the weird stuff. He kind of sounded like this.
I don't even know where the rest of this goes, but...
If you infiltrate and try to hurt my family, I will murder you violently.
Unless you're me.
In which case,
that's okay for me to do.
In the info war.
In the info war.
The info war?
Yeah, because, you know, he's not gonna actually going to murder you.
Says the guy who's, like, beating up his wife.
Absolutely.
Oh, speaking of...
Can we make all of these drops?
No, I have a good drop. Speaking of beating up his wife, I did pull this one out. I thought this one was good.
And if you're a part of my family, we all have.
God
I will love you.
Sorry. I screwed that up. Here we go. Ah!
Hey. It's okay, we can edit all this out.
And if you're a part of my family... I will love you violently. And if you're a part of my family, I will love you violently.
Oh, I told you once with my mouth.
Nah, I told you twice with my hand.
All right, I got to find the Jaws part because that was pretty good.
So where did this post to TMZ?
All right, so that was an interview with this radio guy, Alex Jones, who I guess Charlie Sheen is friends with.
Yeah, great friend.
And so
let's talk about everything on the air and just
Oh, we'll edit all this out, I promise.
And then afterwards, he gave an interview to TMZ in which he said, "I violently hate Chaim Levine, Chuck Lorre in parentheses. He's a stupid, stupid little man and a pussy punk that I'd never want to be like." Charlie adds, "That's me being polite. All these guys told me to clean it up. Well, this is me cleaning it the fuck up. All I want is to bring my family together and deal with all this BS politics. That piece of shit took money out of my..." Oh, wait. He says something about trying to fight him in the octagon.
Yeah, he definitely...
Winning!
If they come in my octagon...
Yeah, if he wants
to... I will bomb them with napalm and tattoos.
Apples
from my giving tree.
So they actually fully shut down 2.5 Men after this.
This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. this audio clip is like the catalyst for my ascension.
Brendan, do you have the response? The response that Charlie Sheen sent? He talked to TMZ. They shut down the show, and then Charlie Sheen sent a response letter, clearly not going through his publicist. Again, and
do you think his publicist just shot himself after like halfway through that, just blew his brains out? Like, done here. Goodbye.
Are you talking about
the
Fist of Flame?
Yes.
Response. I might be able to find it.
Did he fucking Hadouken him?
Big Daddy Drew posted on Twitter.
Yeah, Lindy.
What?
What's your take?
I'm overwhelmed.
What's your take as a woman? What do you think? Is Charlie Sheen just like the winningest winner that ever?
Are you moist? Because I'm a little moist.
Oh, yes. I don't know. I don't know how to. I don't know what to say about it. I feel like this is the pinnacle of all. This is what all of pop culture has been building to for my entire life.
This is the, tip of the mountain right here.
Yeah, I am not gonna have sex with Charlie Sheen when he calls.
Not even after that.
Calls.
What if he invites you on his private jet? He likes the view from there. Winning nap time.
Oh, nap time!
All right,
I forgot about nap time.
I got it pulled up here. Excuse me. Charlie Sheen just wrote a sternly worded, and this is like 2 hours ago. Charlie Sheen just wrote a sternly worded open letter, which he's given to TMZ, addressing the decision to shut down the production of 2.5 Men for the rest of the season. The letter reads: "What does this say about Chaim Levine, Chuck Lorre, after he tried to use his words to judge and attempt to degrade me? I gracefully ignored this folly for 177 shows. I fire back once and this contaminated little maggot can't handle my power and can't handle the truth. I wish him nothing but pain in his silly travels, especially if they wind up in my octagon." "Clearly I have defeated this earthworm with my words. Imagine what I would have done with my fire-breathing fists. I urge all of my beautiful and loyal fans who embraced this show for almost a decade to walk with me side by side as we march up the steps of justice to right this unconscionable wrong. Remember, these are my people, not yours. We will continue on together. Charlie Sheen."
Do you think he just preps people like, prepare for the knowledge, bitch, and then just goes, oh!
His fists breathe fire on you.
So is he going to go...
2.5...
Go ahead, Lindy.
2.5 Men's been on for a decade?
Apparently.
Is that true?
You know, it's actually closer to like 4 decades. It's been on since like the 60s.
But you age in Ark of the Covenant time when you watch it, so you're dead after like half an hour. I've been here for 30 years.
Man, I feel so old. Yeah, is he just going to march hand in hand with like some morbidly obese people from Ohio? That's like, I kind of like that show.
They're winded. We have to stop. Yeah.
You can just pull random quotes from Twitter, and it's like they're all softballs, and everyone's knocking out of the park. It's so funny. Thomas Lennon, who played Dangle on Reno 911, says, "Congrats to Charlie Sheen for coming up with more T-shirt worthy quotes in one day than any previous human."
Yes, seriously. I think I got the Jaws part. If it's not, I'm sure it's some other part equally worthy of the interview.
Well, it happens when you become the top of your game. You know, it's double meaning. It is lonely at the top, and then a lot of people do hate you, come after you, attack you, and I know for years you've just put up with it, but it sounds like you're done.
I'm done. It's on. Bring it, as I say. I ain't hiding. You know? If you infiltrate and try to hurt my family, I will murder you violently.
In the info war.
In the info war.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We want to, the media would certainly try to spin that. You mean?
Of course.
Wow. We're going to come back, Charlie. We only got two more points to get to, and then we're going to bring up a mutual friend and another.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Another Vatican assassin. This guy's got more notches on his belt than, I don't know who, Black Bart, you know?
So we're going to break here in a moment and let you take a break, but come right back to you, Charlie, for a few minutes, and then we're going to introduce him with you at the same time, then we'll go on with him alone. But there are a few other points here. Jaws. Let's start talking about Jaws, how great that was. You thought to, a few days ago, go out on the Pacific Ocean in a big yacht while watching Jaws, and you said the horizon matched the television perfectly.
Oh, man, I was so fucking high, Alex.
I just enjoy
What's the name of your yacht again, Charlie?
It's I Rule, Faggots.
He's just so pumped up when he tells him he can talk some more after the break. He's like, and then we'll come back to you. He's like, awesome, awesome. Yeah, normally, I'm excited about that, but first I'm going to nap for like 3 seconds.
It's like he's stuck in the character that he played in Navy SEALs.
I don't think anyone saw that.
Navy SEALs?
No, I didn't see that one.
Oh, my God.
Is it like Hot Shots?
No, it's real. A serious movie.
Yeah. Is it like G.I. Jane?
It's got...
but with a dude?
It's got Bill Pullman and Michael...
Everything's got Bill Pullman.
So is it like Michael Bain?
Michael Bain, yes.
Is it like Mr. Wrong?
And Slider from Top Gun.
It was incredible. If you haven't done this, I urge you to make plans and do this tonight.
To see the sharks from your flying plane yacht.
with the television horizon. It's an infinity TV.
It's a levitating boat so it can match the horizon. Levitate the boat two more feet, pilot.
It just
captain.
Cut the top off the TV so it just pulls into the sky.
Make the ocean stay still, asshole! I shoot sharks from my plane with a harpoon
His
gun.
Yacht is built from the wood... of the Giving Tree.
Winning.
And the stump's just sitting there bummed out by itself.
Yeah. Yeah, nice stump, loser. Winning.
His version of the Giving Tree, it gives him one apple, and then he just cuts it down.
Builds an F-18 out of it.
No more apples for anyone else. You will give me apples or I will murder you violently in the InfoWars.
Then he throws the apples at homeless people.
I love how that's a suggestion. Like, in the InfoWars, right? Yes, in the InfoWars.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, whatever.
That's much safer.
I'm going to be honest, Alex. I can't tell the difference between metaphors and reality anymore.
The nightmares become my reality.
I'm flying too high for that in my F-18.
The InfoWars sound like crappy sci-fi.
Yeah, it sounds like an awful
in
Star Wars.
In the future, during the InfoWars.
When the machines take over, Charlie Sheen will be their king.
What I wanted to do is I wanted to watch Jaws on the ocean in the dark and be afraid. I wanted to embrace the fear and relive the movie. What I didn't count on was it basically turned into Star Tours. It turned into 4D because there were moments during the Indianapolis...
It turned into 4D. Oh, why don't I have my Steven Seagal drop?
Make him fight Steven Seagal. Make him fight Steven Seagal. Time itself will be rent asunder.
You will not come in my octagon, bro. Well, I invented the octagon 20 years from now. It turned into Star Tours.
It's like the Ghost of Christmas Future from Aqua Teen.
Yeah. A long time in the future.
My flaming Giving Tree fists. Oh, my God. It turned into Star
Tours?
I taught him that.
I taught him the flaming Giving Tree fists.
Oh, my God. So I was...
I'll make them fight.
I was only on like 8 drugs at the time, so I know I wasn't that high. And it turned into fucking Star Tours.
In 4D.
Speech. Which is about looking fear right down the barrel, which nobody, you know, understands anymore. Where
me.
Their horizon matched ours. We were basically in the Orca listening to the speech. This is me not on drugs, bro. As I said, the first one's free, the next one goes in your mouth. So it was an incredible experience, and I felt, you know, I of course took full credit, but I had no idea that the fourth dimensional aspect of it would occur. And it occurred in such a magical sense. That we all just sat there in awe and with our jaws open.
And that's the end of the interview.
Holy. Wow.
Wow.
I like how he brought up full circle there at the end.
Charlie Sheen is doing great.
He's doing callbacks. That's how you know he's not high.
I didn't really get what
he was going for the whole time until that part right at the end.
Oh, yeah.
With the jaws.
The whole Vatican assassin thing makes sense.
He was inside the
makes perfect sense now.
I like when drug addicts have to say that, no, I wasn't doing any drugs that much. I can guarantee.
Yeah.
None.
But
at all.
I am a warlock.
Yeah, I am a warlock fourth level, actually.
Me and knives, man. Me and knives. We're warlocks.
Nails. Nails and knives.
Nails.
Nails and knives. We're the gnarliest.
I'm chaotic neutral.
We're the gnarliest gnarlingtons this sheriff's ever seen.
All right, I'm having too much fun with this. I got to play you the Brian Wilson part. You guys, would anyone object to this? Because this is pretty much like, I can't get enough of it.
Let's do a whole broadcast on this.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Oh, man, I tell you, Charlie, you, and of course, we can tell the inside baseball. It's kind of a sick joke for me. One of my sickest forms of entertainment is.
Charlie, remember that time I blew you on your yacht? It was, like, it was like Star Tours.
Four dimensions. I took credit for them all. All four of them.
That makes stuff inside the Orca. Just the pure baloney. And one time I was at your house and I was showing him stuff where they're claiming that we work for the Pope and stuff. And me and Charlie are Vatican assassins. So that's kind of the roots of that for the media. And Charlie called the great San Francisco Giants closer when he was visiting his house. Somebody
Brian
who's,
Wilson. Yeah, Brian Wilson.
Brian Wilson. Hey, what was the full quote? You called him a, you know, just awesome Vatican assassin.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, because he's nothing shy of that, and it is his job to go out there and embarrass people, embarrass them, not just beat them, but embarrass them in the process. And
he throws a pitch so fast that your pants fall down, and then we make fun of your penis because it's small. Mine's like 12 inches. Winning
on our yacht, which matches the sunrise. Your sunrise and your penis are the same on our yacht. 4D winning nap time.
He makes you have dreams where you're taking a test and you haven't studied. Winning.
He's as radical as you think he might be.
Now,
and if as much as my dad, and I'm, you know, heading up the river to kill.
All right,
another-
sorry, I can't talk over this part because this is part.
He
of the
sounds
fucking
like
mind-blowing.
Yeah,
I forgot his dad was in Apocalypse Now. He's watching his dad's movie in his.
I think he thinks he was in Apocalypse Now. No,
dude, I look old there. What's going on with me?
He does say his dad.
I'm not real good with space and time.
I wish I was joking.
Heading up the river to kill another part of me, which is my dad, and I'm, you know, heading up the river to kill another part of me, which is Kurtz. I am every character in between, save for that little weirdo with his guts strapped in, begging for water. That's not me. But, you know, there are parts of me that are Dennis Hopper, because my motto now is you either love or you hate, and you must do so violently. And the reason you must hate violently is because, and you have to hate everybody that's not in your family, because they're there to destroy your family. And they will come at you in all forms and shapes.
Okay, wait.
And therefore,
especially dragons.
So
he's completely having a
subcutaneous insects.
How do I find the Church of Charlie Sheen and attend a sermon?
We have to get on a yacht.
Oh, well, hey,
I
like that.
I will buy a yacht to
you
have
need
it
some
preach
40
at me.
Glasses at like $12 million.
Oh, man, I can't afford that, but I like that view. Winning. The Church of
you
Charlie
can buy
Sheen.
Some 4D glasses from Brian Wilson.
Well, so
who is every bit as much of a Vatican assassin as you would imagine?
So
him
those
to be.
Of you who haven't seen Brian Wilson, like this, it sounds like Brian Wilson, but Brian Wilson is joking.
Who hasn't seen Brian Wilson at this point?
Well, I would hope everyone has, because it sounds like this, but Brian Wilson.
This is a movie blog podcast.
Yeah, but I'd
say
love
at least
80%
of our audience hasn't seen Brian Wilson.
Well, whatever. This sounds Charlie Sheen sounds like Brian Wilson, but Brian Wilson is totally fucking around.
Yeah,
and Charlie Sheen is not. He's flying on his F-18 of coke. Like, up in the clouds.
His glorious invisible plane.
Yeah.
He's like Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Toilet, toilet seats made of cocaine just around his neck. Where are we going? Where are we going today, Top Gun?
All right. Who's making the fake Charlie Sheen Twitter?
Oh, I'm sure there's already seven of them.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the middle. I don't live in the middle anymore. That's where you get slaughtered. That's where you get embarrassed in front of the prom queen. And I it's just not an option. So, you know, within that is tremendous focus.
I'm pretty sure he stole that line from
The Rock.
Yeah. Winners go home and fuck the prom
winners
queen.
Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
My dad said that. Not my real dad, but Charlie's.
Well, me being my dad in the future, where I live now, in the fourth dimension. I came out of my own nutsack!
I've been to the future. It's pretty awesome.
You want me to tell you what it's like? It's like me.
I ejaculated myself into myself, and we gave birth to me in the fourth dimension. Winning nap time.
And tremendous clarity and tremendous peace, because you have absolute and total resolve about your decisions. If you love with violence and you hate with violence, there's nothing that can be questioned. And people say, oh, you know, you're going to work through your resentments. Yeah, no, I'm going to hang on to them, and they're going to fuel my attack. And they're going to fuel the battle cry of my deadly and dangerous secret and silent soldiers, because they're all around you. Anyway, thought you were just messing with one dude. Sorry. Winning.
Well, Charlie, I mean, I'll tell you.
Yes, friend. Yes, we are friends. Good thing we are far away.
Please love me violently, Charlie.
It sounds like Charlie's really embraced sobriety with open arms. He's really welcome. Just a sober living.
I love him so much more now. This is...
You know what's funny is, like, for all the shit that you heard about Charlie Sheen in the tabloids, I really had no conception of him as a person until now. I was like, oh, you know, he's like the fun-loving guy who bangs hookers and is in Major League.
I didn't know much about Mel Gibson until I heard him trying to murder someone through the phone.
You will blow me!
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is worse.
Well, worse being better?
No, I think Charlie Sheen actually comes off worse than Mel Gibson
in
this. Yeah,
I sort of like, here's the thing. I think intellectually I know that this is better. That Charlie Sheen's is like a way better for our intents and purposes. Like, Charlie Sheen looks like a way worse person, but there's something in my heart I just can't give away. This Mel is there, and him yelling at her to blow him. That's great stuff, guys. I just can't let that go.
I think Mel's saner is the thing. Like, if I
that is debatable.
That's debatable.
Yeah, Charlie's crazy, but he's likable crazy.
Well, this so
that's likable crazy.
Yeah, I want to hang out on his yacht right now.
Well, he likes to party.
He's gonna love you violently.
He likes to party. No, he will kill you violently because you are not his family.
The inside the orca. Yeah.
He's gonna shove you inside the shark, and it's gonna be like Star Tours. Well, but so Mel,
look into the shark's eyes. Look at it.
I don't want to, Charlie.
Do it.
The knowledge, it burns.
Mel was that was a secret, or not secret, but a private conversation that he was saying in some sort of intense rage that where this is Charlie on a radio show.
This is just him on a
Monday. I'm just talking about my pure enjoyment of this. That's all.
Oh, yeah. My enjoyment is
Charlie's
cannot,
just calling up. He's like hanging out in his sweatpants, ready for brunch.
This cannot be calculated.
Like, me being crazy.
Yeah, this cannot be calculated how much I'm enjoying Charlie.
Well, I just think, like, I mean, I know you've probably had experience yourself or known someone, a close friend, where they like had a relationship argument and they just like turned into a psychopath, and you're like, wow, that was weird. But this
guy got weird fast.
This guy is not yelling like at his significant other. This is just like
no,
him.
This is him talking.
I want to pour my heart out on the radio and talk about how I am everyone in Apocalypse Now, including the helicopter.
But not that pussy who died.
Right at the climactic scene of
I'm everyone who survived.
Right at the climactic scene of Jaws, the biggest shark that's ever been invented, swam by, I killed it. It was fucking crazy.
But it was also me.
Oh, wow.
Well, he's having a schizophrenic break is what
thanks,
he's doing.
Charlie?
He's going way
out
the
deep end. Oh, yeah, he definitely broke.
Hopefully he does more interviews soon because that was fun.
You guys want to talk about Catfish after this?
I don't. Oh, so mild.
Yeah.
All right.
Everything's
set it at like 5 minutes. That's all the time we have to talk about.
Well,
it.
You guys, do you and Lindy want to get into a Big Mama's house? Did Charlie have a cameo in that or anything?
I'm exhausted.
I know. It was intense.
By that whole thing. I didn't even participate. I couldn't even talk.
You need a cigarette after listening to it, don't you?
Lindy, I think you're pregnant now.
Sadly, it's with
so.
Charlie Sheen.
Well, he impregnated me before I was even born.
Yeah, he's going to come out. Yeah!
It's me and you motherfuckers back from the sea.
Look at my dick! Look at this! Count the fucking scales of my dick!
I'm picturing a little baby with a fully mature Charlie Sheen head, like running around, but it's just an infant.
Yeah, like in that Ludacris video.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen is yelling at people.
Just shouting awesome all the time.
Yeah. Make my fucking change my diaper, bitch.
All right, well, we might as well listen to more of it if we already spent 50-some minutes
on
this.
There's more of it?
Oh, yes.
Let's do a one-sentence review of Catfish apiece. Vince, go.
All right, we'll talk about
Catfish. No, we don't have to talk about it. Just close the deal. Just one at a time.
All right, well, I think what happened... I can't do one sentence, sorry. I'm too verbose. You can't handle...
You're a writer. You can't trim it down.
You cannot handle the verbosity that I'm about to bring from my F-18.
I will shoot you down in the air. I will shoot you down underwater.
Your words are made out of fists that are on fire.
All right. So my theory on it, I don't know. I found it vaguely compelling. It's like one of those stories where it's like, didn't really tell me much new, but it was compelling for what it was. Like, all right, I get that there's lonely people out there that, you know, make up new lives on the internet.
Spoiler.
Well, whatever we're talking about.
I like to give the spoiler after I spoil it.
Yeah, pretty much. I think what happened because like all the part where they're at her house felt too real to be faked. Like, the daughter didn't feel like she was acting. I think what happened is this guy had this relationship, and he found out very early on that this chick was, like, trying to fuck with him. So they went and met her and filmed it, and then everything else was just sort of like a recreation of their relationship up to that point.
Can I go next?
Proceed.
Ben, you want to go next?
Losing. Winning.
Let's go, Lindy. She hasn't talked at all.
Lindy, what do you think?
What?
Were you napping? So were you napping powerfully?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me.
She's in the post.
Okay, so I literally saw that movie like in August.
Of 2005 when I invented it.
Yeah, totally. I thought that it was nice.
No, leave it. Leave it at that. Period.
Lindy, is this your official review?
Thought it was nice.
Yeah, I'm reading I'm reading from my
how many
column.
Piled up Iraqis would you give it?
How many what?
Thought it was
piled
nice.
Up Iraqis in a dog pile. Is that how you rate your
wow.
movies?
I give it I don't know. I don't know. I don't even remember what happens in that movie. The girl rides a horse. She likes horses. and there's like those the sort of wheelchair,
new segment. Lindy recalls movies she doesn't quite remember.
Lindy vaguely recalls the plot.
Yeah. There's like a
movie she saw 6 months ago.
The house is full of spiders, but they don't like the spiders so much. There's a nail gun.
They sit down for dinner.
I feel like Quaid is in it.
The Wheelchair Brothers, yeah. They're just fist bumping the whole time. We are the Wheelchair Brothers.
We're the Wheelchair Brothers.
Can't go on walks with others.
They're a comedy team.
Karaoke, Vince.
Can't
You're
go
30.
On walks like others. They're a comedy duo, the Wheelchair Brothers. Brendan, what was your take? What did you vaguely recall about Catfish?
I give it 4 out of 4 wheelchairs.
That's dark. That's dark, Lindy.
There's the Wheelchair Brothers in it.
We are the Wheelchair Brothers. do. We cannot walk together.
There are Wheelchair Brothers.
Wheelchairs, bro. Wheelchairs.
Yeah, so I remember the comedy duo, the Wheelchair Brothers. And then there was like another part where they were driving. And then
the movie's
was
about a car, maybe? Are they in a car? Was it
about
car talking?
Car? I think the wheelchair guys rode around in a van.
And then Mark Zuckerberg showed up, but he wasn't him.
No, but I think the car was angry, and it went around killing people.
Yeah, it's the same movie, right?
That was the tire.
Oh.
It was just the tire.
Brendan, give your review.
He had nice teeth.
He did. Ben?
He did have nice teeth.
I wished... So I didn't know if it was real or fake going in. I didn't read anything about it.
Yeah.
And after seeing it, I wished it was fake because suppose it was real, so be it, or at least real enough. I wanted it to turn into like some sort of Blair Witch horror movie when they went to the barn. Where,
me too!
Yeah, because that would have been fucking scary as fuck.
That's not fair, though. You can't be like, I wish Platoon was a romantic comedy, and therefore I hate Platoon.
Are you reading my mind?
you can't just wish it was another movie.
Yeah, well, okay, but they marketed it.
You watch me, bro.
They acted like it was a thriller, and then
true. It said thriller on the box.
So
too,
they marketed it like they did. It was not marketed properly.
Well, I think Brett Ratner was one of the producers, wasn't he?
No, J.J. Abrams.
Really?
Yeah. It was,
oh,
got the
well. The way it was marketed, I thought it was probably a fake, or at least sort of mock. Not necessarily mockumentary, but sort of a mock.
A Blair Witch type thing.
Yeah, and the whole time I was sort of waiting for something to happen, and all the reviews said, like, the last half of the movie will leave you shaken to the core.
Actually, Ben, I think I'm on your side on this
and
one.
So,
is that Pete Hammond?
I agree, yeah, and then they had the Peter Travers review where he's like, don't let anyone spoil this for you. It's like you were it was going to be some crazy reveal, and I'm like, they were foreshadowing this like the entire movie. Yeah,
but that was to me that was no reveal. And all right, so it's sort of
Tyler Durden was dead the whole time.
It was sort of an interesting sort of look at, you know, lonely people and
Bruce Willis was Kaiser Soze.
Nice. Well played.
So, yeah, that was the only reason. I'm not saying that I just wished
Counterpunch.
It was kind of a letdown, cock tease.
Yeah, the whole time I wanted it to be something that it wasn't, and it was only based on the trailer and the Pete Hammond one-liners that said like, fucking craziest fucking movie ever. And
it Brett Ratner was an executive producer, by the way. So,
so was J.J.
Boosh.
Also, you know what I don't get about it?
Wait, you already got a sentence.
This,
my turn.
No, this
my
dude's
turn.
Job was to photograph people dancing. How the fuck is that a job? But what?
It's hard because they're moving around all the time.
What niche? I mean,
it's hard because they're moving around.
Like photographers barely.
None of them have a job. Family. They were irritating. Well, you guys just live in New York in that loft or whatever, and your job is.
I love how Lindy handicamming
your brother,
like,
watching
just,
YouTube,
like, photographic memory.
Pretty much, like he's like. We have an office where, like, I am a photographer who takes pictures of dancing. It's like, how many dance magazines are there that you sell these copious photographs that you've taken of ballet to them? I don't think that job exists.
Well,
anyway, like I said, if
and
it
also, like, the big reveal of the movie is like, oh, people lie on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Wait. Do you think this is the only fake Facebook profile ever? Because we might be onto something here.
Yeah, I wanted to turn it into like a Blair Witch at the barn because I still thought it was some sort of, I didn't know if it was real or fake, and I thought there was like some sort of crazy motherfucker that was going to pop out and scare my
in a wheelchair.
Well, the wheelchair going to roll up.
Bitch, we
that
scared
was the
fuck
scariest
out of
part
you.
Of the movie.
Yeah, that kind of disturbed me because I still didn't know if it was real, and I was like, "Ooh, where'd they find these wheelchair brothers?"
For the record, they could walk.
Yeah, you were like waiting for somebody to get killed or something.
I wanted to talk about AA because you know when
Sorry,
what are you doing there?
I just want the winning drop, winning and naps.
Oh, I didn't pull those out yet.
Well, you don't think they're already on? You're the man now, dog. There's got to
oh,
be
yeah,
a
sure.
full separate.
Oh, there's got to be a billion of them.
I want winning and naps.
Do you
want
to hear his AA rant before we move on to Big Mamas?
Well, did Brett get his 2 cents in?
I didn't, yeah. But
go ahead.
I feel like anything that this movie covered, Exit to the Gift Shop did better. It's kind of like Identity in the 21st century.
Do you think they're the same at all, though?
No, but I think Exit to the Gift Shop touched on more interesting points as to what identity means, right? Like where it's just going to be co-opted and resold back to you. Right.
I can't even really compare the two movies, though.
But, I mean, it's got – I feel like they've got similar undertones, right, where you're trying to assert some sort of statement, right? And this was a little more personal but a little less interesting, I thought.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad movie.
No, I didn't – when
I do agree with Ben that they set it up wrong, and the trailers made it look different
than what it was. I assume that was some sort of marketing ploy to get people to see it.
Yeah.
If it was
Paranormal Activity 2.
Paranormal Activity. Facebook, but I just the reveal wasn't anything that interesting to me. Like, so they went and found someone that was pretending to be someone else. Oh dear golly!
Yeah,
how could they?
And it was really awkward, which was kind of interesting. I felt very uncomfortable watching.
I loved the
when I was at your house. I said, "Man, great job being completely sober."
And to be uplifted
and,
by Charlie. Charlie, what's up?
Important
was, but I can't use the word sober because that's a term from those people and. I
can't use the word sober because I'm not that, and I never have been that for
nor will I ever be.
Yeah, I will never be that. I haven't been that for 25 years. Winning. I do more coke in a day than most people do in a lifetime. Suck on that, losers.
My eyes, and in a nanosecond, I cured myself from this ridiculous model of disease and addiction and obsession. It's just the work of sissies. The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning. You know,
Lindy's in another room, and I can just hear her squeal with laughter while she's like getting up to pour herself a drink or something over there.
I'm addicted to one thing only. Well, two things. Well, like five things. But one is winning.
Winning, winning, winning,
victory.
Victory
and winning are the only things
winning,
I'm addicted to.
Pussy, coke, and more coke mostly.
Winning at coke, pussy.
Oh, you beat me to it. You are so close. Winning at coke.
Winning the who can do the most coke contest. God,
and like pussy.
I win. I won it before they invented the contest. I won it before they made the coke.
I created cocaine, so I'm not addicted to it. I'm the creator. It is born of me.
Like cult, you know, arrogantly referred to as Alcoholics Anonymous. Alex supports a 5% success rate. My success rate is 100%. Do the math.
Why can't everyone be me?
Do you hear what he said?
My success rate is 100%. Do the math. It's science winning.
I like when someone just says, do the math.
Yeah, when they make up a number for something.
Yeah, well.
They succeed 2% of the time. I succeed 60,000% of the
time. Charlie Sheen, 500. Do the math.
Charlie Sheen.
500 what, Charlie?
It's written, I don't know, broken down plagiarist, stayed high on acid until the day he died. I can't seem to find that chapter in his silly book of lies. And then, Alex, try to get your mind around this as a fellow warrior deep in the trenches.
You and Nails.
Their entire manifesto is built upon a complete and total surrender, or the concept of complete and total surrender. They urge you to put down your sword and come join the winners.
What are we talking about?
In 22 years, the only winners I could locate in their toothless warren were either driving a convertible van or living like trolls under some abandoned bridge.
Wait, first of all, convertible van sounds awesome.
Yeah. That sounds like the kind of thing Charlie Sheen would have.
No, that sounds like a Sylvester Stallone movie where, like, there's some hostages in a grocery store and he just pulls up in a convertible van. And he's like, I'll get them.
Come on, guys. We're going to go live like trolls.
Also, the bridge can be in use and you can still live under it. The underneath part of the bridge is not the important part.
That's still a good bridge, man.
I'm just saying. You don't have to find an abandoned bridge.
Don't let that bridge go to waste. The other side's good, too.
Perfectly good bridge.
That's some good bridge living, bro. Winning mayor of Bridgetown. Hey, you're not the mayor of Bridgetown. I own this bridge. I live on this bridge. I built this bridge.
All right. How fast do you think they're reworking the Oscars script to try and include like a billion Charlie Sheen jokes?
Who's doing the Oscar thing? Someone I don't care
it's
about.
Anne
that's
Hathaway.
Less
awesome. Franco and Steve Hath.
But I do like Franco.
I don't like award shows. Can't even remember.
I'm not gonna watch it. I didn't say I'd go that fucking far.
Okay,
dude, we gotta watch it and make it into a drinking game.
You can watch it.
Awesome.
You can tell us about it. We'll all laugh at how funny you spent the time watching.
Oh,
the TV.
Vince, that sounds fun. Well, yeah. I was napping.
You guys
are
gonna play a drinking game with me. It makes it fun.
No,
I have to watch it. You can play a drinking game with me on the phone.
Yeah, we'll just Skype drink.
I mean Skype. Yeah.
Oh, I got Jen on my computer. Oh, they made no joke about Charles Sheen. Take a shot.
Hey guys, I refuse to watch the Oscars. I got better things to do. Hey, here's the thing. I'm going to be drawing some shrubs. Today I drew 10 shrubs.
All unique.
I was late coming over here because I was putting the details on the leaves. But it looks real good.
Has this been an all Sheen fraudcast?
I think so.
So far.
I mean, what can we go to from there?
I don't know.
Really?
Maybe talk about Hot Shots? That's about it. That's all I can think
of. I'm on such a Charlie Sheen high right now.
Yeah.
Oh, you know who's in Hot Shots?
Charlie Sheen?
I was going to say Kirk Douglas, but I think it's actually, what's that?
Lloyd Bridges?
Lloyd Bridges. Yeah. He could have a boner.
He could definitely have a boner going down a log.
He could be dead with a boner. Yeah. Is he dead?
Yeah, he's dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so he actually would be a corpse with a boner.
Right.
That sucks.
They buried him with his boner. That was his number one request.
Bury me with my boner.
Wheelchair brothers.
Just wheeling around.
Just wheeling around.
All right. Since I sat through it, Lindy, we have to talk about Big Mama.
All right.
Why did you do this to yourself?
I don't have my notes, so I'm going to be missing some
That's the one where they're black and one of them's a dress, but can't tailor.
So Martin Lawrence is an FBI agent. And his
maybe.
Son. Yeah.
Hold on. No,
let Lindy do it.
Spoiler alert.
Let Lindy do it.
Yeah, Lindy explains the plot.
No, don't do it.
No, you can
do it.
So Martin Lawrence is an FBI agent.
Wait, hold on.
And he's got his son.
Because you wrote it down.
And I didn't write that.
You're reading off the
I didn't write any of that.
Have you seen the other two?
I like it better when Lindy does it.
Vince, have you seen the other two?
But do it kind of wrong.
No, I went in there a little dry because I hadn't seen.
So how did you know what was going on?
I've seen all three. You want me to start at the beginning?
Yes.
Big Mama's House 1. Big Mama's House 1, first of all, co-starring Paul Giamatti and Terrence Howard. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people. So what happens in that one is that there's a criminal on the loose, and he's trying to kill this lady. And so the only way to protect her is for Martin Lawrence to build this fat woman suit. And then
armor?
So there's an actual old fat Big Mama, and she goes on vacation or something, and then he's like, he swoops in and he takes her place.
Okay, well that makes sense.
Well, right, just in time for her granddaughter to come home, who's the one they're trying to protect. And now she hasn't seen her grandmother in 3 years, so she absolutely cannot tell that
grandma's
it's not
changed
her actual grandmother, and now it's Martin Lawrence in a rubber face.
Lindy, to be fair, you saw a movie 6 months ago And all you remembered was that there's the Wheelchair Brothers.
But then exactly,
and
like
horses.
Plot point for plot point, the full rendition of all three Big Mama's houses.
Yeah. Well,
I have priorities.
All right, so what happened in Big Mama's 2?
So Big Mama's, and also an important scene in Big Mama's 1 is when before Big Mama, the original Big Mama leaves, Martin Lawrence gets trapped in her shower while she has a diarrhea explosion in the bathroom.
Oh, man.
That's the most memorable scene. Big Mama's House 2.
I happened to be once.
Big Mama's House 2. There's a hacker who's trying to bring down the FBI with a big hack. And so
we're
going to
hack the internet.
The only way to stop him is for Martin Lawrence to get his suit out, his Big Mama suit, and go get a job as the gigantic nanny to this hacker's children and move in with them. So he does that.
Believable.
And then he rides a Segway around. And then...
So Kevin James... I thought that was Kevin James's bit. You mean he stole that from Martin?
Yeah, Martin Lawrence is like the Charlie Sheen of Segways. He did all the Segway movies before the Segway was even invented. All the fat suits.
You see the Segway? That Segway's me. That's why it doesn't tip over. Winning!
And then Big Mama's House, Trace, is...
I saw that one.
About... I mean, Big Mama's like father, like son.
Yeah, it's plural this time, not possessive.
Big Mama's, because there's
proves,
two.
Which just proves that Paul Blart can be a preface to any movie.
Yeah, it's
Paul
true.
Blart, like mall cop, like...
like mama, like mall cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in the third one, he has a son who wants to become a rapper. And one of my favorite things about this one is that they really tried to cherry pick all the things that are popular, mainly Glee and Tyler Perry movies. So it's very bizarre marriage of all three things. Because whenever Martin Lawrence puts on the fat suit, he becomes like a fountain of folksy wisdom. Like each one of his belly rolls.
Now, when I was younger.
And one of the lines I picked out was, when I was younger, we were so poor we used to go to KFC and lick other people's fingers. And that line elicited laughter so long and hard that I missed the next 2 minutes of dialogue.
Oh, so that one, that was a winner.
That was a winner.
Winning.
That's probably the best line in the movie.
No, like, no. I thought the part where the guy broke up with her over text message and she's like, oh, he sent me the sunglass guy. I thought that was kind of legitimately funny. So that line got a laugh out of the audience that was like so long and loud. And even in that audience, there's all these like musical breakdowns because they have to go infiltrate a school for girls, him and his son.
I'd like to say they don't have to. Well, they don't have to do any of it.
Oh, that's
it's
true.
It's fucking creepy. They just do it because Martin Lawrence has a sexual thing about putting on the Big Mama suit, I think.
This is true. But his son,
his son, the
aspiring rapper, and him infiltrate the school, this art school for girls.
Wait, he's an aspiring rapper in the plot?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not a cop anymore. He doesn't want to go to college when he could be
on the road making money.
But he's still a cop.
No, his son, not him.
No, but no one's in danger?
Fucking
yeah,
hell.
There's some Russians.
Brett,
are you doing this on purpose?
A little bit. I hate this segment.
So
you hate Lindy Describes the Plot?
No, I love Lindy Describes the Plot. I just don't like it when it's accurate.
I hate Lindy Describes the Plot of Big
Mama's
House
3 because
it's Big Mama's
House
3.
I don't like it when you're correct, yeah.
You keep asking questions. It's just going to prolong it.
Fair. Let's just power through.
So they're at a school for the girls, right? And his son is an aspiring rapper, and he falls in love with a girl who sings. So, of course, they have to literally make beautiful music together. And, you know, it's kind of like they do the Glee thing where all of a sudden people will randomly break out in songs, and it's like a full-on choreographed dance sequence where there's like cheerleaders doing fucking flips in the background and like backup singers, and someone just like spontaneously starts playing a violin or some shit in the background. And the best part is in the theater where the people laughed at the KFC line, not even them were buying the musical parts. Like the musical parts, there was like audible gasps in the theater.
So, well, they were singing to each other. They were there for the one-liners, not for the song and dance routine. Fuck.
Well, here's my problem with it. There is not another FBI agent to be seen in the entire movie. Yeah. Like, Martin Lawrence is like, nah, there's a leak. We can't talk to the actual FBI. We just have to put on the suit. Just we got it. Just put the suit on. This is the only way. And so then they just do that, and then it's like, as far as I'm concerned, he could not be, he might not be an FBI agent. He's just a dude. Like, and then, except then at the very end, he's like, call the FBI. And then they call the FBI. It's like, why did you call the FBI 3 days ago? It's because you wanted to go put on your fat lady suit and play around in the girl, all girls high
school. It only works if I'm the lady.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go through a few of our favorite lines. One of mine was, he's going to kill me? That is not hot.
It's true though.
My favorite, I think my number one, well, okay, it's my, I have two favorite lines. Maybe my, so of course there's a like a fat maintenance man who falls in love with Big Mama because he's a black guy. Well, it's like, and the, she's, it's like a the fat Pepe woman. Le Pew rule. And yeah, we all know how that goes.
It happens in every Fatsu movie, and the audience always somehow acts surprised.
Yeah.
The weird thing about that is that like Big Mama's supposed to be like 89 years old. Like, dude.
But Faison Love gets off on that.
I was
shit.
About to say, was it Faison
it
Love?
Was, it
oh,
was.
Oh man,
yeah, of course, of course. So one of my top two favorite lines was when he says, "My, you are one fly Zulu queen." That was a good one.
Yeah.
So Vince, would you recommend people seeing? Were you really confused, but without seeing the first two, like? There must have been so many.
All right. Well, there's also a white guy in it named Delonte.
Is he in a fat suit?
No. He's in a Letterman jacket.
You know what? So when they get to Big Mama's house 8 and everyone in the movie's in a fat suit,
I'd
might be
that.
On board.
I'd be on board.
Yeah. It would be like the Clumps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've always wanted them to make the Fatties.
The Fatties Denver, Fart 2.
The Fatties Fart 3.
Yeah.
It's Fart 2?
This thing is Fart 2.
Yeah.
That I would legitimately go see. But maybe in like number 8, they're all fat except for Martin Lawrence, who somehow remains skinny. Yeah, Charlie Sheen would be in it too. Don't worry.
Well, he's in everything. He's in you right now.
Someone at work put on Trapped in the Closet like as a joke, and this guy comes.
That.
Oh, it's awful! Like they played like all 10 parts too, and this guy comes by my desk. He's like, "Is that Trapped in the Closet?" And he just sits there and listens to it for a while, and he goes, "Jesus Christ! It's like I'm listening to a Tyler Perry movie."
And if you're a part of my family, I will love you violently.
Oh, Charlie.
I felt like I had so much to say about Big Mama's like father, like son. You guys really took the wind out of my sails.
It's whoa. Brett. He does that.
Brett's a
I hate Brett.
Brett's a wind taker.
You and everyone
you
else.
Fake Brett.
Get in line, Lindy.
I miss fake Brett. And the beautiful moments that we had.
I didn't see Big Mama's house because I was drawing shrubs.
So, Lindy, what else do you have to say about like Mama, like son?
I don't know. I lost all my confidence. I don't know.
No, you didn't.
I don't know anymore.
Slam a G&T and let's party.
I don't have
can't
any liquor or
it.
Wine or beer in my whole house.
What?
Whoa.
What? How dare
whoa.
You? What
that's
happened?
Why I'm so boring.
Are you not a movie
don't
reviewer?
Say things like that.
How dare you?
I'm only fun when I'm drunk. Like Charlie Sheen.
Come party.
I just cured myself with my brain in a nanosecond.
Come party on Charlie Sheen's boat, Coke and Hookers. Let's go. Right
four
now.
Four dimensions.
All right, well, how about this?
You ever seen a titty in four dimensions?
We do have the Oscars this weekend. I do briefly. We should briefly touch on it just to pretend that we let's still
talk. I'll touch on it. I'll touch on the Oscars.
I just don't care. I can't bring myself to care.
Rub up my junk.
All right, I don't know. I'm not really. I don't really care that much about the Best Picture this year either, just because.
Can we pick some obscure category.
I think
like
they're all
it?
Decent, but I'm not. I'm a little annoyed with the King's Speech. I don't get how the King's Speech is suddenly like the darling of everything.
Wait, Ben hated The Social Network.
No, hate would be strong. I just thought it was an.
Are you provoking me in your emails? Is that what's going on here? Are you baiting me?
Well, you claim that you always claim that Transformers is somehow my favorite movie of all time.
You love those robots. You want to fuck those robots?
Hey, you know, if I
Lord, if I had to fuck a movie, it'd be Transformers 2.
If you were an F-18 flying and deploying your aerial combat,
but also you're a robot with fists of fire.
I'm sort of like I am the plane.
You guys, this is just getting ridiculous now.
Hey, let's bring this back down to earth, okay?
You want to talk about the Oscars?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this is serious. This is Oscar talk.
Oh, are we going to make a game out of it?
Predictions.
Can we drink Cosmos?
I'm so used to this, and I forgot we were recording, and I was just listening to Ben and Brett argue, and then I was like, oh, shit, we're doing a podcast.
All right, so if they mention Charlie Sheen, you have to have a sip of your Appletini, and then if... What if my dress blows up? Then you have a sip of your Cosmo. You should have four drinks in front of you.
Just double fisting.
And if both they do both, that's glasses. A sip of loneliness.
You should have four glasses in front of you. A lemon drop, an apple teeny, a kamikaze, and a Cosmo.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And that's how you party. So, suck on that.
Not if you're Charlie Sheen.
So has Goodbye, anyone else,
winners.
Has anyone else besides me seen the King's Speech?
Nope.
Oh, you no. Not one person. Jesus,
I did really like.
Well, don't see it because it's like 2 hours of the trailer.
Oh no, don't worry, I won't see it.
Isn't Colin Firth just Emma over and over again? Like Jane Austen. Isn't he just an Jane Austen novel come to life?
I think it seems like it.
I did really
Then I'm definitely not seeing it.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I mean, it's like it's exactly everything you think it is. It's like, oh, he's got an unorthodox mentor.
What are the other ones?
Better win the
You're the man now, dog.
We had this press release at work that was like. The National Stuttering Foundation says King's Speech is the best movie ever.
Yeah.
And then...
there's an easy joke
I have this crazy Zimbabwean coworker.
Yeah, I got you,
And he
Brandon.
Was like... He was like, if they made a movie about a king who barked, we'd be getting emails from the Dog Association of America.
A good point.
I like
though.
That. You just got to do it with a better accent.
That would be.
I know, I can't really.
If they made movies about a king who barked, we would get letters from the dogs.
And the king, he make the poo poo. Hey, priest, look at this.
He make me the poo poo.
I'm
Bishop,
surprised.
Look at this.
I'm surprised by you.
Bishop, watch this movie.
There was a lot of restraint there. You didn't combine the Zimbabwean with the stutter.
Yes. That would not
Which
be
is
nice.
Really all I wanted out of the evening, so thanks for ruining that for me.
It really takes the wind out of my sails when no one else knows what I'm complaining about.
Just going to throw pencil
What does
your dick.
Fake Vince sound like?
I don't know.
Hey, I like to watch the movie. Hey.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't either. That was like a Mexican-Italian cab driver.
No, you're really you're really more
game.
Like a sad small hawk that can't
what
fly.
Was that,
and is really angry about it. It's just
I can't catch gophers.
That's not a hawk. This is a hawk.
Ooh, everyone marvel at Vince's hawk impersonation.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, Ben. I think it's in your room.
Me and Brian Wilson were hanging out with hawks on my yacht. It was so
in
crazy.
In 4D.
And then we played Jaws on my screen, made of the ocean.
Playing Jaws is just when your teeth grind from doing too much cocaine. Are you playing Jaws right now? I can see you playing Jaws right now.
So we used a projector, projected on the ocean. The ocean right where the projector was crystal clear.
Projected on my chest!
And as Jaws jumped out of the water in the movie, a real shark jumped out onto our boat, and we hung out with it for a while. Did coke. It was awesome. Winning!
Everything's such an anticlimax after Charlie Sheen. I can't.
It's true.
Can't recover from it.
No.
I don't know if I can go on living.
I don't
you ever
know
done cocaine off a Mako shark? I didn't think so. Winning.
Yeah, flopping around.
Ironically,
difficult.
Ironically, I don't think Charlie Sheen can recover from hanging out with Charlie Sheen.
No.
Yeah. Oh God! And there's so many of them now. There's like 1,000 of them. They're all just making each other more and more crazy.
I bet you when he's coming down from the coke, he's like all the characters that he said he wasn't. Like on the way up.
I can also sort of and that's me on the dog on the tree getting run over by
my
the
guts are hanging out.
I can picture him sort of like the scene in The Matrix with the 1,000 Agent Smiths, but they're all just Charlie Sheens in Hawaiian shirts, like ready to party.
Bollingers.
Yeah. Just ready to party and just yelling at people.
And it's just that fat, awkward kid from 2.5 Men just like, hey, what's going on?
The half man?
Yeah.
The half man.
He looks like he's about... I think that
you there, half man. You don't know the awesome power of Charlie Sheen. Join Let me us. Relate it to you.
I sort of think he goes through like every character he's ever played in a movie, and then he ends
or ones that he has
as
not.
Like the garbage man in Men at Work, and then he just feels really bad about himself, so he has to go get more cocaine.
Wait, is Martin Sheen Martin Estevez?
No.
Well, how come they're Estevez?
Yes. Yeah, I think
Estevez
he is.
Wait, no, the mom is the Estevez. She's the Hispanic one.
Oh, so
pretty
the
sure.
Emilio just took his mom's name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Charlie Sheen, I'm surprised he hasn't released this statement that he's actually a man and a half. And then
oh shit.
John Cryer.
Oh, do the math.
I could believe that John Cryer is not a man.
That he's not a man at all, and that kid is actually is a full man.
Do the math.
Shrunk down.
Do the math.
Wow. Winning.
Do the math. Science.
He's not shrunk down anymore. He's like 6'2" and like 300 pounds now.
No, he's still short. Isn't he just fat?
No, yeah, well, whatever.
I'm playing it on Spike. Maybe I'm like 3 years.
Hold on,
behind.
You
want to
hear Charlie Sheen?
Don't ruin it for me. I'm watching the DVDs.
Let's hear Charlie Sheen talk about Major League.
Yes. Well, Charlie, I've known you for six and a half years or
so. We're best friends.
And I knew you when you were completely clean, and then I've known you since. But the point is now, I've never seen you, when I was out at your house and talked to you on the phone, so energized as you are now. I mean, you're on fire, as Nails told the news yesterday. I mean, I agree with that description.
Well, I think it was Nails that said, and I was really, really flattered because he got it right, that I'm not, you know, he might be Nails, but I'm freaking bayonets, you know?
God. I like that he said, I've known you since you were sober and since then. Yeah. And then he said,
he's had his troubles, but he's sober now, clearly.
And then I like he said, right now you're on fire. I think you could substitute that with a whole, probably 8 words.
How many lines of fire did you do tonight, Charlie?
Yeah, what sort of fire? Where'd you get your fire?
It's coming out of my hands. I don't know. There's so much of it everywhere. It's in the orca.
I am battle-tested bayonets, bro, and I'm tired. I'm so tired of pretending like my life isn't perfect and bitching and just winning every second, and I'm not perfect and bitching and just delivering the goods at every frickin' turn, because look what I'm dealing with, man. I'm dealing with fools and trolls, you know? I'm dealing with soft targets, and it's just, you know, it's just strafing runs in my underwear before my first cup of coffee because I don't have time for these clowns.
What does Charlie Sheen do?
He's flying a metaphorical jet through his house in his underwear.
He's got that special brand of crazy where he never at any point refers to anything specific enough. So you're like, oh, I know what he's talking about. Yeah. Like everything is like this vague.
I totally feel that, like, that metaphor.
40,000 foot view of like, you know, like, so how do you feel about this specific event? And they're like, you know, man, it's just like when you go and then everything in the universe is in sync and then you just know what that is and it's like the vibrations are going your way. That's, you know, that's
like when you're just having a cup of coffee and the next thing you know, you're ascending to heaven like Jesus and you're just looking down and walking on water and just shooting lightning bolts out of your fist. That's how I feel.
But I like that it's all battle and battle test. I'm just strafing. Yeah. Strafing in my underwear before I even turn the coffee pot on, which I don't even touch. It turns on when I think mind bullets winning.
Charlie Sheen, impossible to give a 7.
Time for their judgment and their stupidity. And, you know, they lay down with their ugly wives in front of their ugly children and just look at their loser lives. And then they look at me and they say, I can't process it. Well, no, and you never will. Stop trying. Just sit back and enjoy the show. You know?
Wow, I am speechless. Later we're going to get into Apocalypse Now, but what comes to mind is when we were there a few weeks ago watching it in your home theater, when Colonel Kurtz is saying, you can kill me, but
you
can't.
You have the right to kill me, but you do not have the right to judge me. Boom. That's the whole movie. That's life. That's life. There's nobility in that. There's focus. It's genuine. It's crystalline. It's pure. And it's available to everybody.
Wait, how old could he have been during Apocalypse Now?
He was in Apocalypse Yesterday.
Well played.
And I'm writing Apocalypse Future, which actually has already been filmed in my brain, and you will see it soon, but probably not.
Probably in the past, though, like a loser.
Yeah, you losers live in the past. I live in the future present.
Boning your ugly wives in the present while I fly my plane through the
fourth dimension.
Who bones
their ugly wife in front of their ugly children? That's put the ugly put the ugly children to bed, man.
Charlie Sheen's reality is so warped that he thinks banging his wife in front of his kids is normal.
Good thing you're not ugly. Good thing you're not ugly.
Make the baby watch. Yeah. Hey. He's like flexing like American Psycho.
Hey, Ricky, look how good I am at this.
Oh. His bowling shirts. Oh God, it's gotten too real for me. It's gotten too real.
Hey, bring your brother in here. I said, bring your fucking brother in here. We watch this.
These guys, see how fucking good I am. This. Look how much I rule.
We're all winning, gonna be beautiful
winning,
together.
Winning.
Yeah, it's like a slot machine.
He just keeps
it's
shouting,
like
winning
a slot machine. Winning, winning, winning.
Swallow my winning.
You were working out super hard. I went and worked out with you at that private gym. I mean, they put you through an incredible workout.
Remember that time we went to your gym together? Remember that time?
Thomas Jefferson was a pussy.
Remember that?
I hope that when he ejaculates, it's just a cloud of cocaine. He's like, poof.
Just a big guy. You
got my vagina all numb.
That's why it's so euphoric having sex with him.
But you're ready to go to back to work right now.
Well, yeah, but Alex, I gotta tell you, man, and you know, I'm tired of being told like, oh, you can't talk about that, you can't talk about that. Bull, S-H-I-T, is that?
Sorry.
Charlie, everybody that I know that knows you, and I know you well, talks about how behind the scenes you give incredible amounts of money to charity, you help people, you give things to everybody, you go out and help firemen and school children. I mean, but genuinely are a nice guy, but you've always just let people attack you and lie about you. And in the years I've known you, and in the years people that have known you...
That one cuts off.
You've... Anytime I've hung out with you, you've given me as much coke as I ever wanted.
I've always enjoyed that watch you gave me in the Christmas of 97. We are best friends, and I would like to hug you at the first given opportunity.
I would take down a plane for you.
Well, let's do that. I do that every day.
When are we going to see this tattoo?
I already played that part. Oh, wait, no, I didn't.
Was there any more meat left on these bones?
My man, if my man Steve is listening, I'm sure it'll be added to you in just a matter of moments.
Please tell me that's Steven Seagal.
Wait, did he just threaten that Steve is going to tattoo the guy? It's like, if he's listening, it's already happened. You've already got one of your own.
Yep.
Steven Seagal doesn't play by time and space, baby. It's already happened in the past. You're going to notice that it's on your stomach right now.
Oh, no, he's here.
He's a Vatican ninja.
Okay, here's my idea. Okay. Charlie Sheen, Steven Seagal, Mel Gibson, and Gary Busey on a boat, and they have to hunt sharks. Reality show.
I'm in. No, except
one of them.
And Paul Blart. Let's put Kevin James in there too.
The loser is used for bait.
But it's not actually a shark. It's just a person dressed like a shark, like a really poor person.
Oh, but they kill him anyway.
It's not actually a boat.
It's just a bridge. It's just a bridge.
It's like an RV in the middle of the desert.
So it's an RV in the middle of the desert with four really coked up dudes and then one guy dressed as a shark and one harpoon gun.
Around. You guys...
And
the guy in the shark suit is just running around the RV.
No!
And just outside all the windows, they have like the little things like at the middle school play. And there's people just moving them back and forth to make it look like the waves. It's like the cutouts of the waves, you know? And there's two layers. And they're moving against each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Like well, water. That's awesome. Yeah. Some Charlie, I know you've got some surprises coming up in the next few weeks, but we'll let you roll those surprises out. Moving on along here, Major League 3, your other two were giant hits, and I knew the inside
No, they weren't.
Baseball of some of the planning for that. You told me about it a while back, but now it looks like it's really starting to come together. Tell us about when we're going to be looking for Major League 3 and who's going to be in it.
Major League 3, I don't know. I haven't read it. I don't care. It's being directed and written by a genius named David Ward, who, won the Academy Award at 23 for writing The Sting. And it was his pen and his vision that created the classic that we know today as Major League. In fact, a lot of people think the movie's called Wild Thing, as they should.
Whoa.
Wait, what human on the planet thinks it should be called Wild, or thinks that it is called Wild Thing?
What human thinks it's a classic that should be? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I thought it was funny enough, but...
Dude, do you remember when there was a Colombian guy who worshipped a chicken?
Yeah. Fuck you, Joe Boo.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
But wait, who on earth thinks that it's called Wild Thing? Besides Charlie, of course.
People that hang out with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, they all tell him,
Charlie, when we were working out back in 97, remember when I said, hey, why don't they call Major League Wild Thing?
Everyone thinks it is called Wild Thing, but it's not. It's called Major League, written by a genius, but I don't know. Won an Oscar at 23. Coke, off my wiener, do it now. Winning.
Sting.
Drives a steamship with his mind. No hands. Winning.
Fire the cold. Whatever. I agreed to do it. There's one deal point that Jim Robinson, a wonderful man, and Morgan Creek, a great company, need to work out. If they want me in it, it's a smash. If they don't, it's a turd that opens on a tugboat.
Did he just flip flop on him? Is he angry now?
He said that really fast, but what he said was, if I'm in it, it's a smash. If not, it's a turd that opens on a tugboat.
What is that? I don't even understand what that means.
Like, it's not even good to open in theaters. You got to go out in the middle of a river to show it.
Yeah, you have to go on a tugboat.
Could you show it on a yacht?
The tugboat's pulling
his
yacht.
Guys, we're trying to make sense of Charlie Sheen right now. Do you realize we're just pissing into the wind?
Yeah.
You're doing.
It's like, can we get this guy on?
You're like doing coke. You're doing coke in a wind tunnel.
Oh, Vince getting sound effects happy. I think we should end it.
Oh, boy, I tell you, because the word in the news is, I mean, all over the L.A. Times, New York Times, is that it's a done deal. You're in it, and it's coming.
Wow. Well, I didn't get that text yet, you know?
Well, as we know, the mainstream media gets a lot of things wrong, Charlie. A side issue.
No way. Those guys, damn.
Why did you?
I like how everything he says is just delivered in the manner that everybody's going to love the shit out of this. This is the funniest thing that anyone's ever said.
You can tell he's trying very hard to be so funny.
I didn't get that text yet.
Winning while I was on my yacht doing hookers and blow. What? Sober now. Mind bullets.
I chop the hookers up and then I rail them. That's how I roll. Charlie Sheen, the end.
It was disdain for everyone.
I think he's got News Team Assemble playing in his head on a loop.
On a loop.
Totally.
Charlie
Sheen.
Yeah, all the words. It's like a MIDI, but all the people are singing Charlie, all the notes.
The only instrument is himself.
Charlie.
All right, man. I think we milked this cow till it bled Coke.
Yeah.
till
it turned into an F-18.
Till Coke poops came out.
We milked this cow till it was a jet.
Yeah, till the F-18s came out of the udders, and then they bombed Coke down onto the people below. What's
dicks.
Up now?
I hope they wanted to surf there, winning.
I hope it's not all like clever plays on words. I want some fucking Photoshops out of this whole nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's a lot of visual shit going on there. I just want his dream realized in pictures.
Film drunkards, you heard the man.
Well, maybe like an
F-18. You shall receive.
F-18 flying out of his head, or maybe him on an F-18.
I want to see a dog that Frockcast somehow...
Frockcast@gmail.com.
I want to see a dog that's somehow related to Charlie Sheen.
Like a Charlie Sheen
I
want to
see a dog acting like Charlie Sheen.
How about a dog on cocaine?
I wouldn't mind seeing an infant baby with a Charlie Sheen head.
I'd like some Giving Tree in there. That's my hero.
Yes. Boom. Yeah, tattoos.
It is important. You know Ryan Gosling has a Giving Tree tattoo, right?
Oh,
you know,
of course
God.
He does. Giving Tree is just...
Of course he does.
That's what shallow people enjoy.
But so you're... But now...
I like the Giving Tree, but that's what shallow people quote, I guess. When they're like, oh, remember that time in the Giving
you're
Tree?
You're saying Baby Goose is shallow?
No, sorry. I don't know what I'm saying.
Remember that tree gave that guy
freaking
stuff?
Freaking out right now.
But I just think it's funny that Charlie Sheen and Baby Goose have the same tattoo.
Baby Goose would never be an F-18.
It's too loud. I don't
only if
yours,
it was a museum, girl.
He's a hot air balloon.
I'd be a hang glider dropping UNA'd all over your shit. Just rice and beans and sugar.
Vince, can you get me another Charlie Sheen radio interview for next week? That is the most fun I've had in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like hanging
you were,
out.
You were right to have a boner for that. That is hot.
Charlie Sheen's really fun to hang out
hot
with.
Hot media actor.
Yeah. He spits hot fire.
He does.
From his fist.
Yeah, hopefully we can have him back on next week.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Charlie.
You know what's funny is I had a couple, you know, I had a few things I thought were fun prepared. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be a good broadcast. I got all this material. And then that shit hit at 4 in the afternoon, and I was like, wow, I'm dropping everything.
It just
for this.
Dwarfed everything.
Yeah.
Did you like run to your newsroom, and you're just like, stop writing. Yeah. Stop the presses.
All these cats looked
up. I got gold, baby, gold.
The dog stopped farting momentarily. Like,
oh, you've eaten so much garbage, it can't stop farting.
Yeah.
You are a monster.
Aw.
Close it down. Brendan, take us out.
Well, Lindy, thanks for coming on.
You know, sorry I was sober as a judge.
Seriously.
Next time.
Hey, I'll you can kill there. You, but you can't judge you.
And if you're a part of my family, I will love you violently.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, so film drunkards far and wide. Any Charlie Sheen Photoshops would be greatly appreciated. Those,
I'm sure the internet won't have any of those this week.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want them funneled. They don't even have to make them. Just point them at Vince.
Sure. Frockcast@gmail.com. All right. So that's a wrap for this week. Thanks, everybody. Anybody else got anything to add? All right. Until next week, good night and good chins.